like to control what I can control. I mean, I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Football's become soft. Football's become soft like our country has become soft.
Dad, I don't know what the hell catch is anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He's going to stick his knuckle in your asshole.
You like that?
That's gay.
Representing.
Do you like it?
Yeah. My God, we are ready for the football.
Take that, motherfucker.
And now, here's John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Everything I am is an illusion. Everything I am.
Matthews is off the mark, and this year the confetti is going to fall for North Carolina. They're not going to be denied this time.
Woohoo! Well, there is somebody that's excited.
Oh, excuse me. That's what I was doing during the game. What the hell, man? Starting these games at 9:20 at night on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that all the time.
It's ridiculous. You know, it's okay. Monday Night Football, I get it. It's once a week. You know, you want to maximize your audience. But good God, this is the freaking championship,
right?
You know, this is the championship. And you're going to have it ending at 12:30 on a Monday night. People got to get them go to work, man.
Yeah, you remember the time somebody asked Tar Heel how he became a Tar Heels fan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he said he was born.
How you ask me a stupid question, how do I become a Tar Heel? You need to play in your place in North Carolina. Just come on to North Carolina. You ask a fan that, how did you become a North Carolina fan? Just pose that question on you. I mean, that's straight stupid. How do you become a North Carolina fan? Just born with it, fool.
Born with a fool.
Got a nickname.
You are.
What's the nickname for Carolina, for North Carolina? What is the nickname for Tar Heel State?
All right. Simple as that. Just like everybody else. But nobody.
Right. No, the Blue Devil State.
Nobody explains it like him.
You know? No, I guarantee you he's already bought like 12 pounds of gear.
Hi, my name is Bud. My name is Who. My name is Tar Heel. Hi, my name is Bud. My name is Who. My name is
I really wish I could have caught up with him over the last week or so, man, just to hear his ass crow about all this new, his latest game.
Y'all be breezy.
All right. Speaking of college basketball, just real quick, Charles Barkley, you know, obviously is on TV for the last month because of March Madness on TBS, right. and he went on the Dan Patrick Show, and I feel him, you know, because. Look, we all want to do this from time to time. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hell yeah. Like time to time, as in like it's 10:20 right now. Yeah, I feel like it.
Right.
In a minute, it'll be 10:21, and I'll probably feel like it again.
Well, he was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he came up with an idea. I think they could put it on pay-per-view, probably. But
hell yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about Skip Bayless, and Skip Bayless, we let Skip Bayless talk a lot.
I know the National Football League.
What? Right. Yeah. So.
Clown.
Right. So here's what Charles Barkley had to say to Dan Patrick.
You know what we should do for ratings?
No.
I see you got all these TVs on.
Yeah.
Like, if I get a disease and I'm going to die, how about I bring you get Skip Bayless in here and I kill him live on national television?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like pay-per-view.
Yeah. No. Well, no, just get him in here.
Oh, no paper.
Because, you know, and then, okay. And I'll like, only when I know I'm going to die.
Fritzy, can we set this up?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
But just let us know in advance.
I just want to get Skip Bayless in a room one time and just beat him like a dog.
Okay, so you'd kill him.
Yes. Okay. Only if I knew I was going
to. Only if you were going to
die. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, if I'm going to live, I don't want to be in prison because, as Mahorn say, they would love you in prison.
Charles Barkley and the coverage on TBS, TNT, CBS.
Yeah, CBS and TBS, I think, are the last two standing.
Man, he going to kill Skip.
Oh, I see.
I would sit there and watch it. I would watch it. And, you know, Skip said nothing back about this. You would think that Mr. Hot Take, Mr. I'm just going to be a contrarian all the time, unless you're talking about my Cowboys, you'd think he'd have something to say, and he let this slide completely. I think that just indicates he is a gigantic pussy.
Well, I don't know. I watched him and Sterling on Undisputed every day for the next week. the starting the morning after Charles said that. And yeah, they never ever addressed it. So I don't know.
Snip, snip. Charles Bobner say he want to kill you on Dan Patrick show. What you got to say about that?
I think his life is in shambles.
That's not true, Snip. He's doing the NCAA basketball tournament.
You know, the most the person who is the happiest to see the tournament come along so that Charles Barkley gets his time on TV, you know the person who is the most happiest?
Charles
is
Barkley.
Fucking Spike Lee.
Oh.
No, Spike Lee. Because Spike Lee gets to have some relevance again. Hey, y'all remember me from 25 years ago? Look, here I am. You know, they say, we need three recognizable black people. Of course, we got to go with Samuel L. Jackson. Everybody knows who he is. And Charles Barkley, everybody knows who he is because that's on. And yeah, I remember that guy. He used to do Nike commercials, didn't he? Yeah, get Mars Blackman up here.
Well, I'll never forget Charles Barkley on David Letterman saying, when you play college basketball, if you can score 10 points and get 10 rebounds a game, you don't have to go to class.
No, that's true.
That's true. I'll never forget that. All right, I'm Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 297. And coming up, Goodell's going to fix our game, John.
Oh, I heard about that. Isn't that got something to do with the move to Vegas? There's going to be a lot of games fixed.
Viva Las Vegas. Yes, jerseys and more. He is Michael. And Romo has retired, but that's not the best part of the story, and we'll talk about that coming up. But first, let's get to the NFL's war on touchdown celebrations. We've got, you know, this has gotten out of hand now.
We've got to get Bill O'Reilly in on this because he's the best guy at stopping these stupid little wars.
Well, Troy Vincent, you know, he's the vice president of football operations. He says they're putting together an educational training video, John. Oh my God, we're gonna have Jiminy Cricket on there. I'm no fool, no siree. I'm going to live to be 103. I play safe for you and me because I'm no fool.
Right. We're gonna have one of those old black and white videos with some poor fucking guy who's got his pants pulled up underneath his goddamn, underneath his ribs walking.
This is Tommy. He's walking to school.
Right.
Tommy scores a touchdown.
Right.
What should he do?
We're going to get Roger Goodell. Right. He's going to have a poem. He's going to stand there on the stage and he's going to say, all right. No thrusting of hips, no puckering of lips, no humping the goalpost or screwing the ground. Try not to wave your big fat ass around. No fun, no games, remember where you be. No screaming nigger or fuck on TV.
What's wrong with these niggas, man?
Find that man. No using props, including the ball. You know what? Fuck it. Don't do anything at all. No dance moves, no flashes of style. I better not even see you smile. If I see you move or do anything at all, I'll find you so hard you'll wish you never touched the ball. And that'll be it.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that'll be it. And that's going to keep the kids out of the frickin' brothels.
Well, actually, this is what he had to say about it.
What I would like to do is get our officials out of that and allow our officials to officiate and focus on the important things in the game, not judging whether they stayed within the standards of the video or not. And I want to reach out to our players and find out what are the right standards for us here, so, because it reflects on all of us.
Wait, you're going to reach out to the players? The players are going to be like, leave me alone, let me do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, look, you know, I'm actually just kind of waving the air in front of my groin and not pretending to spank some hoe while I fuck her. That's what it's all about there, Commissioner.
Oh, I see. So that's what that's going on. We're going to get with the players and find out what's appropriate.
So the refs don't have to worry about, you know, deciding whether, well, see, there's your problem, Roger. They have to decide. They have to make a judgment call on the fly because of all your stupid rules.
Yeah, you sent them in there to do it.
Right.
Now you're going to tell them they shouldn't be doing it? Jesus Christ. This dude should run for president.
You know, hey, I got to thinking about it. You know, they always talk about act like you've been there before. You know, that old line. And it's like, what if it's a defensive tackle who happened to pick up a fumble and run it into the end zone, and it's the first time in his life he ever scored a touchdown?
Fuck it. He's a defensive tackle. He's going to get fined anyway because he got close to the quarterback in the third quarter. So you might as well go for broke, man. Lay down on the ground and fuck it. Put the ball under your freaking pants and screw it. Throw it down your pants and run around the end zone with it like you got a big, giant football-sized hard-on. Run out and go up to the, like, you're going to do a Lambo leap except go forwards and smash right into everybody.
Well, I was playing Madden the other night, and I actually did that. I scored it. I you know, I had my defensive end hit the quarterback and he fumbled the ball. No, seriously. My defensive end hit the quarterback. He fumbles the ball and the defensive tackle picked it up because we were, you know, it was like down by the 10 and just basically walked in with it. Well, you know, and in Madden, they do celebrations when they score. I mean, in the video game. You know. And so this big defensive tackle, and it's just as funny in the video game as it is watching one on TV. He's doing this goofy ass dance. And it made me think, it's like, well, now, you know, people would tell him to act like he's been there before, but I'm betting I know for a fact I drafted this defensive tackle and built him up. He had never been there before. So I'm thinking, well, there you go.
He's just pixels. And besides, by the way, folks, if you press XX square circle start select, your player will actually fall on the ground and fuck the ball.
What? I thought you were going to give me a cool hint on something there.
That was that. You'd try it, right? What is it? XX square circle start select. Player goes down, fucks the ball. As a matter of fact, if you push select twice, he'll do it doggy style. So there you go.
All right, some other things going on here with the commish. He's looking at ideas to speed up the game now, and I'm okay with this. It includes limited commercial breaks, less time for clock stoppages, and he says they're going to centralize replay. All right, and this was pretty interesting.
We're going to centralize the replay back here in New York. We want the referee's input, so we will instead of having a sideline monitor over against the wall, we're going to bring him a tablet, and he can look at the play, be in communication back to our office with Dean Blandino, and Dean Blandino will have the final decision. We think that'll move it much quicker. We're not going to wait. If we have a decision, we're not going to wait in the stadium. We're going to make the announcement, which is good for the fans in the stadium.
Yes! Look at that! Oh, you mean like they do in college, and it goes so fast, we're not going to have the circus with the stupid, where they roll out the damn cart, and he's got to get under the hood, and all that stupid crap. Yeah, hand him a friggin' iPad, and he's already on, he's got a piece in his ear, he's talking to Dean Blandino, who's watching it with him, they'll have it done in no time.
Hey, listen here, boy. You better call that a goddamn fumble, or you're never getting on my goddamn party bus again. I can already smell the controversy. Remember how Bill Belichick treated those tablets, right? Can you just see this going on with the refs?
I don't like it.
You're going to let Jeff Triplett try to operate technology?
Yeah, he didn't like them, did he?
Hey, look, there's a picture of a kitty cat.
So we finally get a change to the replay. They're going to change the way they do commercial breaks. The commercial breaks are going to be a little longer, but there'll be less of them, and I'm fine with that. And, hell, I watched outside of the Sunday, the normal games, I watch them on DVR anyway, so I don't have to watch. But, the commercial break, less time for clock stoppages, I think that's great. And, you know, so this is really the first thing Goodell has done that I like, and you can probably read more about it in an issue of stuff that has no impact on the Cleveland Browns. And so...
You are a factory of sadness!
Well, they're going to just say they're not even going to play the Cleveland Browns games, and that way they can get right to the 4 o'clock game for most people in Ohio.
Oh,
save a lot of time.
Now, you know, the Browns, they're in Cleveland, and they weren't there for a few years, but I don't think Oakland will ever get their team back. They're heading to Vegas, and that's and I guess Miami was the only one who voted against them moving. I don't know what – I didn't dig into that deeper to find out why, but man, this is – John, this is crazy.
Well, aren't they a conglomerate? Is it not J-Lo? What are those – some of you are by Miami Sound Machine, one of them owns part of that goddamn team, and they're
Are you talking about the Dolphins or the Raiders?
The Dolphins.
Yeah, that J-Lo and Gloria Estefan and Jimmy Buffett, and the list goes on and on.
Jimmy Buffett, they called him up and said, hey, you want the Raiders to move? He said, fuck it, why not? Go for it.
But what did that have to do with them voting against the Raiders moving?
Well, because Gloria Estefan was having none of that.
Mm. You is not moving anywhere. You are not going to Las Vegas. Not if I have anything to say about it.
Okay. But this is the third team in a little over a year.
What, to move?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what?
So what?
None of them are, I got to thinking about it. For one, I think Oakland did the right thing, okay? They did not pony up. It's bullshit that municipalities that need money for schools and everything else are getting held with a gun to their head that says, look, we're leaving unless you build us a stadium. That's bullshit, all right, for one. So they did the right thing by their people. And two, look, man, it's with the Sunday ticket, the number of fans who are only going to the games are a very small minority anymore. I think that the majority of fans around the country who watch the Raiders, for one, most of them don't live in Oakland, I don't think. I think most of the Raider fans are all around the country, and they watch it on TV anyway. It doesn't matter where the team plays.
That is true, but that doesn't change things for the fans in Oakland who are season ticket holders, who have been loyal, now have had their team ripped out of their life for the second time.
Well, it will change things because their kids will be smarter and they'll have better fucking services and shit and roads and all kinds of good stuff. But, you know, yeah, it's an apples and oranges argument there.
I understand you're like, well, they you know, you can't make the taxpayers pay for the stadium. I understand that. But you also have to look at it from the investment standpoint. I know that Jerry World makes a ton of money for Dallas and they paid for part of it. You know,
well, I think it also makes a ton of money for a few people.
Well, sure it does.
But the overall general fan, I mean, Jerry World, I would not be able to see the Cowboys moving to another place. That wouldn't work out for me. The Raiders, yeah, but they've moved once before. We got used to it before. You know, so I don't think it's really that big of a deal because Dallas by itself is, even without the Cowboys, their economy's great. They do fine. You know, they're going to be fine. Oakland's not the same way.
Well, no. And whose fault is that? It's not the Raiders' fault.
Well,
come on. They have let that city go to shit just like Detroit and all these other terrible cities.
Well, Oakland's actually doing okay because they've got a lot of spillover from Silicon Valley. People that don't want to, or can't afford to live in San Francisco but are making good money, they live in Oakland now.
Yeah, but
at the same time, they need other, you know, it's you got to put priorities. And I kind of commend Oakland for putting priorities first, even though it really kind of sucks for, what, 70,000 people that could go to those games? 60,000 that were in those games? That stadium is not big, and they always blocked off the upper deck with those big giant signs that said Raiders. So, what, 40,000 people are going to these games? The guy who paints his face and puts spikes on his shoulder pads, he can go to Vegas. He can afford it. Those black hole guys, they'll still be there.
I don't know, man.
I really don't like the notion of a team in Vegas because the elements that are in Vegas... You got to be careful, man. You can't let gambling anywhere near your sport because it'll kill it.
Right.
It'll kill it.
Yeah. And Brandon Marshall says this is going to be a problem for the young players.
I just want to make sure that the players are protected. I think that, you know, it could be a tough place for a kid coming out of college. That locker room has to be strong because there's so much there. There's access to so much. You know, it's a strip, but it's really big, and it can be overwhelming at times for young, immature players.
Oh, it'll be fine because we have a rookie symposium to teach them how to behave.
Don't they usually have that in Vegas?
The rookie symposium? No, that's usually out in California.
Okay. But I, you know what? I think he's 100% right. You've been to Vegas, right?
No, I've never been there.
You've never been there?
Nope.
Dude, it is debauchery, all capital letters, all over the place, all the time. It never closes. You can literally anything you can fucking dream of, you can get it there. You can get it there. Aside from the gambling, the prostitution is legal. There's women all over the place. Christ, you walk down the street and guys hand you cards, you know, like little billboard cards with hookers on them. Here, come and fuck Misty. Come and fuck, you know, Pepper. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I can see a lot of 20-year-old, 21-year-old guys getting into some serious problems down there. They've got to be very careful about that, and that's an absolute fact.
No, John, it's not debauchery anymore. Here, listen to Roger Goodell. Talk about this, and you know, he says the league is still against gambling, but Vegas has changed.
I think society in general has a little bit of a change as respect to gambling in general. We've seen that. I think we still strongly oppose in that room and otherwise legalized sports gambling. The integrity of our game is number one. We will not compromise on that. But I also believe that Las Vegas is not the same city it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
10 years ago?
It's a much more diverse city. It has become an entertainment mecca. It is the fastest growing city in the country. So I think when you look at what Las Vegas is today, what it was a decade, two ago, I think it's a much different city.
Oh, come on. It's, oh my God, it's the fastest growing city.
It was, because what he's got his timeline all off. Literally 20 years ago and in 10 years ago, in those time periods, they tried very hard to change Vegas into a family-oriented city.
Why?
Not Disney, you know, not Disney with gambling. They tried, but it didn't work, and it's going back. It was fast growing then, but not so much anymore.
Why would they even try to do that?
Because they wanted to attract more money, you know. But literally, dude, as soon as you get off an airplane in Vegas, right there in the freaking concourse of the airport. As soon as you get off the freaking plane, you can gamble.
Right.
There's, I don't care what he says about whether the Vegas has changed. No, gambling is still legal. And if you see one player, TMZ gets one player anywhere near a sports book, what's going to happen?
Oh, I know. I know.
You know, it's and this is where I find the problem. Not so much that I'm against gambling, but if you start to really drop into the public psyche that these games might actually be fixed, it's dead. That's why Pete Rose isn't allowed in the Hall of Fame, all you fucking whiners.
Right.
Exactly why. I know he got all those hits, but you can't do that. It will kill your game.
Okay, so back to the prostitution. All right, so this reporter is going to ask Goodell about the, I guess, you know, obviously this is going to happen. Somebody runs right out and starts preparing this Oakland, well, it'll be the Las Vegas Raiders, but this Raiders-themed brothel.
Obviously, we all know about Las Vegas having dozens of casinos there. Today, an entrepreneur came out and said that he plans on opening a Raiders-themed brothel that has VIP access for Raiders players. How much did the league consider some of these pitfalls when agreeing to allow the Raiders to move to Vegas, and will you work with the Raiders to help make sure? Brandon Marshall also said that putting 21-year-old kids in Vegas near the Strip can be overwhelming. How much do you plan to work with the Raiders to help ease any of those concerns?
Well, Ben, I think we have an obligation to do that with all 32 teams.
My
experience is that 21-year-olds can learn to find trouble in a lot of different places, by the way. So that's one of the reasons why we have focused so much on our personal conduct policies. And it's educating, helping players make better judgments, giving them better information so they avoid problems.
Oh, my God. Really? He should be a politician, man. He says a bunch of words but says nothing.
He called Huggy Bear an entrepreneur. Some guy with goldfish in his stacked shoes and a fur coat and a big tall hat with a cane. Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. Come here, bitches.
You see this?
See, I thought that the brothel thing was if somebody had a fetish and wanted to fuck Art Shell or Jack Tatum or somebody like that. Some big bitch in there and put her in a 66 jersey.
So you want to do it with Gene Upshaw, do you?
You know, back in the day, we tried that in the late 60s, you know. We were having trouble selling tickets, so we made a brothel at the stadium, and we dressed players up in lingerie and had them stand in the window under red lights. You'd be surprised to know this, but back in his day, John Madden looked stunning in a garter belt and high heels.
Hey, buddy. Looking for a good time? $20, you can pack this pooper.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Plenty of kids can find trouble in other cities. That's right. But in that city, all you have to do is spin around with your eyes closed one time, and wherever you open your eyes and look, there it is.
Yeah, you don't have to look. It's all propped up right in front of you.
You can't help but get in trouble in that place, man, if you want to. I think it's a fun town. The thing I'm most amazed about the times I've been to Vegas is that I've never gotten in a car accident. Because, God damn it, driving down the strip is ridiculous at night.
I can see.
It's amazing you can pick out which is the stoplight.
I can see, Michael Crabtree, man. He's in Goodell's office about some shit he got into. And he's like, Commish, man, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's what I was told. Hey, I don't want none of my homies know that I went to the Rita Rudner show. My God.
Man, when you said Huggy Bear, man, oh my God, the visions that pop in my head, and I see him like he's in a back room somewhere with Roger Goodell. Look, man, this is what I need you to do for me.
Yeah, you keep the cops off my back, and I'll turn this place into an NFL hump fest. We can reinvigorate Greg Hardy's sex dungeon like he had down in Cowboys Stadium.
Oh, my God, dude. Huggy Bear and Roger Goodell would make a great cartoon. Oh, my God.
Imagine Huggy Bear standing at the podium with him.
Yes.
His shades on and his big freaking fur top hat.
They're shaking hands. They're shaking hands. We've made a new partnership.
Goodell's trying to shake hands. Huggy Bear's doing all the tap moves. And I don't know what you're doing there. Could you just come on? Put, geez.
Stop. Stop.
Stop.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And he's got other business partners down there. Oh, hey, look, I got the. What we can do is we can make sure there's a back entrance for the players to come into the players' book. You know, they got their own room there. They can watch the horses, bet on a game here or there.
Oh,
but we
my
promise,
God.
If they come in to bet on themselves, we will definitely say we'd rather not have your business.
Well, yeah, one more thing on the Raiders' move to Vegas was Robert Kraft. He went out to Oakland, John, and he conducted an investigation.
I'm undercover.
Kraft right. is out there in a trench coat with a fucking magnifying glass.
I'm looking for that woo guy. Where's he?
All right, well, here's what Kraft had to say about his findings.
Over the weekend, there were about 10 people with Raider shirts. I quizzed them. They didn't know who I was from Adam. And I said, how do you feel? And only 1 out of 10 cared about the team moving. They were wherever they go and can be vibrant.
So he has decided only 10% of Raiders fans care that the team is moving to Vegas.
That's a scientific. That's the use of the old noggin. Yeah. I swear to God, they didn't know me from anybody. Everybody they meet's got 5 big Super Bowl rings weighing down their goddamn hand. And they've never seen somebody like me on the biggest stage in the world accepting a trophy.
Everybody who would wear an NFL jersey out in public knows who Robert Kraft is. Shit, especially if you're wearing a Raider jersey.
Speaking of Robert Kraft and jerseys, his quarterback got his jersey back. Tom Brady's got his stolen Super Bowl. He's got both of them back. And, oh, my God, the stuff that the guy had. He had Von Miller's helmet from the Super Bowl.
My God, really? Oh, no, I didn't know all of this.
Yeah, this Mexican reporter that had the jersey from this last Super Bowl and also the one from Super Bowl 49 in 2015.
Right.
They found all this stuff after the investigation by the FBI. I can't believe. Well, I guess, yeah, because you never know. I guess it could go across state lines, so they got to bring in the FBI. But, man, God, here's our tax. Again, you talk about tax dollars being used. You got the FBI, and now we have to go out of the country, you know. And this international media member, Mauricio Ortega in Mexico, he had everything. And then Brady got everything back. And they said that the jersey was valued at $500,000. So I guess, you know, you do want that back.
Yeah, Tom, by the way, Mauricio released a statement. I happen to have it right here.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
He says,
I didn't want to steal Tom Brady's jersey. It was my cousin Speedy. He said he just wanted to take a look at it. So I put it in my bag. I bring it to him. And the next thing you know, he's all on the and then he's gone, and I'm standing there in the smoke wondering where the jersey went. He does that shit to me at Super Bowls all the time, Tom.
So, yeah, I think that's probably where the FBI went, and they would looked in Speedy Gonzalez's sports memorabilia shop in Mexico City, and they found it.
It was there on sale for $2.50.
Right. Hey, is that a Honus Wagner baseball card?
Let's go to break, and when we come back, of course, we got to talk about Tony Romo. Jerry Jones' pro-marijuana stance. Thought that was interesting.
All right.
We will actually have a very small baseball segment, but trust me, you're going to love this shit. And right. And next, we have to get into this Michael Irvin sexual assault charge that has been launched. This is
smoking fire.
Man, this is crazy. And I thought people were all done trying to screw Michael Irvin out of money, but evidently not. So we'll get to that next.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Hi, I'm Charles Barkley. Reading to your kids is important. It stimulates their imaginations and teaches them the value of books. You think you would know that, but somehow you don't. Only a dumbass needs a retired player to tell them to read to your kids. I guess you're a dumbass. Read to your kids, dumbass.
Help
VOTech.
VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Here we go. Top 10 signs you're watching way too much NCAA basketball. Number 10, at a dinner party, you make guests tip off for every pork chop.
Connie, leave the tuna alone. Don't go. That's a stingray, Connie. Get away from there.
Number 9, you got a tattoo of Jim Nance where a tattoo of Jim Nance shouldn't be. And number 8, you name your child Gonzaga. Number 7, just checked into rehab to kick a $500 a day nacho cheese addiction. And number 6, you got a 35-second shot clock in your bedroom. It's an oldie but a goodie, folks. Number 5, constantly asking, what would Michigan State coach Tom Izzo do? Number 4, a snack plus lack of activity equals sweet 16 chins. Number 3, you're so caught up in basketball you don't even care that the Hills' Audrina is about to go on her first date since breaking up with Justin Bobby.
I don't know how anybody would ever get to that.
No, point. I don't think so. I'm with you on that, Paul. Number 2, kick everyone's ass in Scrabble by putting Krzyzewski on triple word score. Krzyzewski. Krzyzewski. You know, that's an interesting, and it's just fascinating, and it shows you how ignorant you can be, but the name is Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
Yeah, Krzyzewski. That's like me saying my name is Letterman Schnauzer. I know, it looks like Letterman, but it's actually pronounced Schnauzer.
It's Late Show with David Schnauzer.
And the number one sign you're watching too much basketball, you'll watch anything leathery and orange on CBS, even Letterman.
Yo, what's up? This is Ari Spears from Damon's Underground, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin is reportedly being investigated for sexual assault, according to TMZ. A 27-year-old woman filed a police report saying that she and Irvin were at a bar before going back to the W Hotel in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the 51-year-old former Cowboys receiver was staying. The woman says she only remembers fighting Irvin off during the alleged encounter. After the incident, she went to a medical lab for a swab and blood test, according to the report. But Irvin says he was at the bar with a group of people, including the woman, when he left at about 4:30 a.m. to return to his hotel, and she followed. Irvin adds that he was only in the hotel room for about 15 minutes before leaving to catch a flight and had no sexual contact with the woman. His lawyer says the allegations are false and told TMZ, quote, even the complaint that she made specifically says she does not recall the events that took place. She was very drunk that night. Nothing happened and there was no assault. Irvin's lawyer says Michael was in Fort Lauderdale visiting his nieces and nephews at a track meet and attending his 90-year-old aunt's birthday party.
That does make it kind of sound far. I went to my niece and nephew's track meet, and I was at my 90-year-old aunt's birthday party, and that's all I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's all we remember.
Actually, he was going down to the Miami brothel.
Is that
that's
right?
Why the, I found out. That's why the Dolphins voted against the Raiders. They had their own brothel, and he wanted himself a piece of Larry Zonka. So she got a swab, right?
I guess.
So there's
going
to be results to say whether or not anybody was there.
Well, I don't think there will be any criminal charges in the case, and we'll get to that coming up here. And first, all right, so Michael has known this girl for 10 years. They've been friends. They've done, well, here, listen. He says, first off, here, let me tell you. He did this interview with Fox 4's Mike Ducey down in Dallas. And
always a trustworthy name there.
He denied everything, and yeah. So here he talks about knowing this girl for 10 years.
In that decade, we've never had any kind of dating relationship, and we've never had any kind of sexual relationship or sexual relations in any way. So the night in question, it's my first day home. after the off season, during off season, and I went home to see my nieces and nephews, who I take care of and live in one of my homes in Florida, and they had a county track meet. They did well in the track meet, so I went to see the track meet, and then after that, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, Frank, who owns this hotel, Ocean Manor. He said, come by, let's hang out. And I always do it every off season. All the family members come by, we all hang out over there. We were hanging out, and I had a 6 a.m. flight, early morning flight. And then I thought to myself, all right, I'll just hang out with friends and family, and then I'll just go straight to the airport at 6 a.m. because I had that early morning flight.
All right. So can you imagine?
That makes it absolutely plausible that there's no sexual contact right there. I've in fact, known lots of women for more than 10 years that I've never fucked. Practically all of them, in fact.
But here you are. I mean, you've been friends with this girl for 10 years, and now she's going to do you like this, you know? And I say that, I mean, you know, is it possible he's guilty? Sure, I guess. But it's just when you listen to all this, and it's funny because before he did the interview, he said his lawyers were completely against him doing this interview. And I understand because he's going on the air. So it's on the record. He's going to say all this stuff. And if anything he just said comes out of his mouth differently in the courtroom, well, now he's got a problem.
He said to his lawyers, look, man, I've gotten out of worse shit than this. Don't you worry. I'm a pro at getting away with shit. I'm not going to say whether or not who I believe one way or the other. If there's a smear, we'll find out. I don't know. I can't say one way or another. I hope he didn't because I want him to stay on television and make great sound effects.
It's hard.
Yeah. He probably did her the old wah, wah, wah. Give her a little... However those other ones go.
And he was gone with them.
Phew! Oh, man. Michael, why didn't you want to have sex with her?
Smell.
Oh, is that...
Oh, my God. What did they ask? Did they ask Herm Edwards what he thought about it?
Fade.
Is that right?
That's what you call a character witness. Yeah.
Herm Edwards was there.
I said, Herm, should I do this? And he said, maybe.
All right. So there was, Michael did have another friend there with him, but he leaves just before they left. But now here, Michael's going to tell the story of that night. And if everything Michael says here is true, and they have this, he's going to talk about this video, then he should be all right. But so here it is.
And since I was leaving, I offered my hotel room. I said, you know, you guys, if you want to, you can stay here and sleep it off because I am leaving. We were in the hotel room for a short while. Vince was there with me. Vince is a guy I grew up with since about, he used to be my point guard and playing basketball since about eighth or ninth grade. He was with me and we were all in the room. And Vince said, hey man, I have to go. I got an early morning meeting. I said, okay. I got him a car home. Left in the room was N.I. I was sitting around and she's bouncing around and she was
bouncing.
She was impaired. You know, she had been drinking all night and she was drunk and she was more friendly than usual. And I had said to her, I said,
oh,
just chill out. It's just the alcohol talking. So when she was being more friendly than usual, I stopped her. I said, yeah. Stop. Let's go. We got to go. Soon after that, Mike, I grabbed my bags and walked out of the hotel, going to the airport. She walked down the hall after me. She walked in the elevator with me. She walked down in the lobby with me, and then she left, and I left. We talked in the lobby. I tried to tell her, I said, go back to the room and get some rest and sleep it off. I gave her the key. I text her after that and said, go back to the room and go to sleep. I text the room number to her, 2004, 22004 is the room number. Go back and sleep it off. She texts me, good night. Then last Tuesday, I was pulling into the...
Okay, she claims that, now just to give you a heads up before I continue this, that
right.
She immediately went and called 911. That's what she says.
Oh, because he turned her down.
Nobody turns me down.
She left with him and was with it. I mean, why would you not go, oh my God, he raped me? Why would you not, you know?
Right. Okay, so here, let's continue.
I was pulling into the Palladium, headed to an event, and I get a phone call.
And this was a week later.
And I get a phone call from my attorney and my agent saying that TMZ was about to release a story. And I didn't know what the story was. I was like, about what? And then they told me about the story. I was like, who? When? Where? I've asked all these things. And they told me, I said, there's no way. I said, there's no way. I've had at least 10 communications, texts, phone calls, since that night. My last communication with her was Monday night, 24 hours before I got the phone call that TMZ was about to release the story. So I was taken by surprise.
I was baffled.
We're doing our investigation.
I was baffled.
We've talked with the W. Of course, we talked with the Rock Bar. We've spoken with Frank at Ocean Manor. We're acquiring the tapes. We know we've asked the W to preserve the tapes. They say they have the tapes. I've always looked like a little niece. You know, she's like a little niece. She's been around me. She's been around my family. Been out to eat with us. I considered her a friend. A lot of people think, saying, oh, Michael, were you being careless? I thought I was being caring, making sure all of my friends and family members got home safely and or just slept it off and not got out in the streets driving after we had been hanging out drinking. But I can tell you this, nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Nothing. Nothing, John.
She was bouncing around.
Yeah, what is it? What are we talking? Pogo stick? Hippity hop? What are we talking about here?
I said, girl, stop sucking my dick and sleep it off. Pick your head up out of my lap and go lay down on the bed. Now, I tell you what. The thing, I don't like to make snap judgments in these kinds of things because he's got a public forum, right? So we all want to see him be okay because we like to laugh at all his stuff and things like that. But at the same time, when I see that they go to TMZ and that's the first place anybody finds out about it, that smells like I need money.
Right. Well, now.
Right.
Now. Okay. He believes his name will be cleared. And let me play this clip.
The reality is the tape will show that she walked out with me, that there was no one passed out in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the evidence. You know, and we're getting that tape, you know. So I understand people have their thoughts and they have their doubts, and I know the Fort Lauderdale police are doing their investigation. What I'm giving you is the truth. You know, I do remember. She herself said she doesn't remember. I've talked to her. As I said, I've had a minimum of 10 communications with her, conversations and texts since that time. Since that evening, and she herself said, I don't remember. She's asking me what happened and all of that. And I told her, I said, nothing happened. I even texted her. I said, listen, you've been a friend for a long time. I will always look out for you. I will never allow anything to happen to you. And that's exactly what I did. I can't worry about how people will see things. I only worry about how the investigation will play out. And I know how that will play out.
Okay, so here's the one thing, because this interview was like 17 minutes long. I couldn't play it all. I cut out what I could. And later in the interview, he said something else, and that's when, okay, you said that when it's TMZ, when that's the first place the story comes from, this is usually about money. That's what you think?
Right.
Well, if this...
That's what I think.
Right. So then when you find out after that, that she has now hired Gloria Allred...
Oh, definitely money.
It's definitely money. She has hired her... for a civil suit. And as we learned with the Pac-Man situation, you know, that when he, remember, he spit,
right,
on that nurse.
Gets rid of the criminal charge.
Right. And so then when that nurse went and filed the civil suit, that removes the opportunity to file the, you know, the criminal charges against him. I'm guessing it's the same with this. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if there's different laws in Florida or in Texas. I don't know. Well, no, he was in Florida. That's where they were. I don't know, but the fact that she's hired Gloria Allred, if they do get video from the hotel, because the owner of the hotel is good friends with Michael, if he's got it, he's going to give it to him. Well, he has to, if they, you know, subpoena it anyway, but, So if they've got the video of her walking out with him and she doesn't look like anything's wrong and all of that, I don't know how in the hell she's going to convince anybody that he did anything wrong. Because, again, why didn't she immediately go to the desk clerk and say, you need to call the police right now?
Right.
You know?
Well, because Frank was in on it. Frank, you know, the thing that kills me, though, is that what Michael, he immediately asked the questions when he heard about what was going on. He said, who? What? Again? And, you know, if you call TMZ, when you get through their robo thing, the robo answer where you got to push in the numbers to get to wherever you got to go, it says, have you been assaulted by a celebrity? If so, call Gloria Allred at this special hotline number.
She's their sponsor.
Fucking A. Yeah, she bought time on their hold button.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, again,
you'd think she could ask him for the money if they're that close. I mean, how much is she going to, you know, get out of something like this?
I don't know.
She could ask him for it, you would think. This would be, you know, plan number two, plan B.
But you know what? You get in a courtroom and there's text from you going, I don't remember what happened. You're done. Your case is done. You've created doubt immediately.
Well, let's hope they don't fire him from NFL Network.
Well, and he does have concerns about that, and that's part of the reason he wanted to do this interview and get out there in the public and say, look, man, I'm getting screwed here. And he should not lose his job. If he's telling the truth and that video and they get the video evidence and nothing becomes of it, he should not lose his job.
That's right. Otherwise he's going fishing with Warren Sapp.
I mean, my God, Ray Lewis is on network TV doing football, and that man was accused of murder.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. And not only is he on TV doing football, he wears the niftiest little hat.
He does, doesn't he? He's got some cool
hats.
It's
a nifty little hat.
Somebody just looks better in a dapper fedora when they're trying to tell you how to live your life.
Anyway.
All right. So we John and I have reason to celebrate.
Yes, we do.
Now, I know some people.
We all do.
Some people, some other people were in agreement with us. And I, for some reason, this guy has like this little cult fan club. But I'm not, you know, Tony Romo has retired. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm celebrating.
Skip Bayless is shocked. How could he do this? I don't believe he obviously doesn't have the fire. He shouldn't have been there anyway, you know, and all this. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's had 2 back surgeries, another broken bone in his back. He's had 2 broken collarbones.
2 broken collarbones.
And he just had, he's got little babies and a beautiful wife, and he's got more money than he'll ever need.
And somebody just took his job.
And somebody, yeah, and nobody was willing to trade even a 7th round pick for the guy. Well, and that's probably because of his salary. But, you know, come on, man. I mean, I did hear Romo say that Houston was the place he would have gone. That was the top place on his list. Obviously, he'd still be in Texas. You know, maybe they're a contender, yada, yada, yada. But that he did say that. But
I think the phrase is whoop-de-fuck.
I'm glad he's retiring. He doesn't need to be hurt anymore. You know, the guy doesn't.
That's right.
Hey, Skip Bayless. Maybe the guy doesn't want to be in a wheelchair when he's 50 years old. You know, come on.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Right. Speaking of Skip in a wheelchair, why don't you go fight Charles Barkley, you pussy?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to sit there and call somebody else a pussy. Why don't you go get in a ring?
Go fight Charles Barkley.
Let's have a celebrity boxing match. You versus Charles Barkley. I'd like to see that.
Actually, fuck boxing. Just anything goes. Anything they can grab in Dan Patrick's office to use against one another. Go for it.
Oh, okay. We're going to go WWE, huh?
All out gladiator.
Chairs and ladders.
Of course, if you tell Skip he can dress like a gladiator, he might come.
No, an Indian.
Oh, I've been waiting to wear this leather satchel.
I think he'd rather be an Indian.
That's right.
Anyway, okay, so Romo's retired. That's over and done with. But the best part of the news is not necessarily that Romo is going into the CBS TV booth. It's that he's replacing Phil Sims.
See, I don't see this as good news.
That we get rid
of
Phil?
For us, it's terrible.
We're getting rid of Phil.
I love listening to Phil Sims say stupid shit. It's the only thing I find entertaining about him being on TV at all.
Well, now they haven't. I don't know if you've heard. I haven't seen anything where they have said that Phil will or won't be partnered up with somebody else doing other games. I don't know. But I know that Romo will be with Jim Nantz as the lead team for the top game each week.
Right. watch him. You know, I thought the first time I saw Romo in his network jacket, that picture of him, I said, damn, CBS is reviving Gomer Pyle. Look at that. I think Sims got screwed. I really do. I know he's not the best, and I know he's probably the worst, but you don't just... for a guy that's got no experience whatsoever, they basically said, hey, you know what? If we could have found a dog that we could train you to be out, but we got this guy now. That's probably what they did. CBS called down and said, stop training the dog. We've got Tony Romo.
I wonder how Phil Simms responded.
Well, look, I'm not going to say whether or not he's going to be good at it, but I think viewers are going to come to appreciate what I brought to the table, Tom. It takes a lot of practice to be completely... able to miscall an entire play, and before it's over, just totally reverse direction and claim that's what I meant the whole time. It takes a skill to fill up every possible second between a play with just complete blather. Well, maybe not blather, but incoherence at least. And Tony's going to have to learn how to do that on the fly and how to string together thoughts that make no sense whatsoever. It's not as easy as you might think. And like we talked about, Jim, it's something he's been doing his whole career. See, like we talked about this week, Jim, Tony Romo, he throws on the run a lot. Well, not a lot, but when he's on the run and he throws, he does. Now, that isn't to say he's running a lot, because he does. I mean, it's a football game, and you have to run. But when he's throwing and running, he throws on the run. And then you'd have Dance would go, second down and 8 for the Bears on the 34. Jesus Christ, can somebody get this idiot out of here? You got Chris Sims.
You dicks! My dad is the bestest guy on TV, you fucking heads!
And now he apologized. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, he apologized for going off on CBS, and CBS was like, who is that, and what did he do? Oh, that's the Sims kid. Yeah, we saw him at the Christmas party. Give him a lolly. He'll be all right.
So all the players always get performance bonuses at the end of the year.
Right.
And Romo did get one for last year, believe it or not.
Amazing.
He got a performance bonus of $64.11.
Jesus Christ, that's just knowing how to tie your shoes, right? What you get for doing that right every damn week.
I'm not making that up either. That's what he got. His bonus was $64.11. Now, okay, so this started in 2011. NFL teams are allotted a performance-based pool of money, and they give it out based on two factors. It's based on how much players are already earning in salary and how much they played. And, it's like... percentage of snaps played divided by salary. So the biggest bonuses will go to the players who don't get paid very much but played a lot, which they're the ones who deserve the biggest bonuses, actually. But Romo made over $20 million last year, but, he only played that one series against the Eagles.
Like three plays, right?
Yeah, he played that one series against the Eagles, bam, 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 touchdown, and that was it. But by comparison, so that's, a very small percentage of the entire season. With that $20 million salary, come out to $64.11. By comparison, Dak Prescott got a bonus of $354,544.57. His base salary is only $450,000, and he played 67.5% of the snaps last season. Because when I say snaps, that's of all snaps, special teams, defense, everything.
All right, according to this bonus structure, you are worth $21.37 per play against the Eagles defense. Cha-ching! $21.37 against the Eagles. Now, I wonder if they had been playing like, the Steelers, would that have been a different bonus? Would they maybe give them like $25, $26? Hazard pay or something?
But Hey, give it up to Romo. I think he did better in bonus than we made in donations this year.
That's right, you cheap bastards. We should have gone out and played three plays against the Eagles defense. We'd have done better last year.
I'm not doing this show anymore.
We're going to go on strike. How about that?
All right, so after years of trying to get the NFL to overturn their marijuana policy...
Right.
The Players Association finally has somebody campaigning for them.
Good. And it only hurts the teams.
And it is Jerry Jones.
God damn right. Look, these boys want to goddamn take some mescaline and get out there and play. I don't care. Holy crap.
Oh, you imagine that, Tom? Could you see a game full of boys out there running around on magic mushrooms? Holy shit.
Well, we're just talking.
Who cares what the score is?
We're just talking about weed.
Weed!
Right. Pro Football Talk said Jones and the other owners held a private meeting at the annual league meeting. So they have an annual league meeting in Phoenix, and then we're going to have a private meeting on the side. And told
they're
the other
behind
owners
the freaking meeting place smoking a joint. Right. Listen here, Bob, we got to talk about this.
Look, we're enjoying this. Why shouldn't the players get to? You know,
right?
But yeah, so
Bob Kraft is swirling his drink around. I don't know about this marijuana stuff.
So yeah, he said they want to stop banning marijuana from being used by the players, but the problem, and they don't necessarily disagree with him, but that nothing's going to happen anytime soon because it's something that would have to be collectively bargained. Well, it seems to me that the 30
do that over the phone.
It seems to me that the 32 NFL owners and the players associations are the ones, you know, who put together the collective bargaining agreement. Why can't they all come together and say, we're going to make an amendment?
Right. Why can't they just take a quick phone poll? Honest to God. Who's going to say no?
Nobody.
Nobody. I mean, the players aren't going to say no. And if the owners say no, they need to be told that, honestly, your player being suspended 4 games hurts you. You know, hurts you. Doesn't hurt anybody else. If you get your guy suspended for 4 games.
Well, and that's all I care about. I'm sick of seeing guys get suspended for 4 games.
Yeah.
You know, because they went to some party and they got high Friday night in the off season, and now, bam, they can't play for 4 games. I mean, it's just dumb. It's just dumb.
Or they're treating pain without using freaking opioids, right, that their doctors in the stadium are handing out like candy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we've had that discussion too many times. Yeah. So.
Right.
Just, oh, my God. Come on, man. Get with it.
Yeah. Let them toke up a little bit. It's not like they're out there on the field doing it. Right.
Right.
You know, the funny thing in this entire discussion is that there's Jeff Sessions, the new attorney general over there. He's going to go, hey, wait a minute. Who said y'all can do that? Not me, goddammit. Everybody's going to get in my prison systems.
Stay off the weed.
Right.
No, thank you.
All right. So I told you we were going to mention baseball.
Orioles undefeated. The Orioles are undefeated. Fuck the Yankees.
The Orioles undefeated. What are we, 4 games in here? Oh, my God.
Dude, there's only 159 left, man. I mean, where does the time go? Seems like it just started.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well,
I like baseball. I like baseball.
It's the Indians' year, John. It's the Indians' year.
Oh, come on. Hey, they got very close last year, but do you hear yourself?
I think they're on pace to go undefeated.
So are the Orioles.
Well, there you go. There you go. We'll see that in the playoffs.
Showdown.
That's right.
Showdown in October.
Anyway.
They're undefeated at 162-0. Of course, it can't be because I think they play each other 8 times this year.
One of the, One of the subways in New York derailed on Monday. And so there was, obviously, this caused a bunch of delays. And it was right before the Mets played their season opener. And, you know, people in New York travel on that subway, man, to get to the stadium all the time.
Hell yeah.
And one of them, this this Mets
he
fan,
was a rather portly gentleman.
Yes, he was. He was. And he Frank Fleming. His name is Frank Fleming. And the local news decided to interview this guy who happened to be a Mets fan, who happened to be going to opening day, and he was not happy.
New Jersey Transit is the absolute worst! I'm not going to get to my game now because they are incompetent! Incompetent! They tell Track E, and then I got Track H, and they say, no, this train's not wrong. Their announcement was wrong.
They are incompetent, Tom. They're incompetent.
They tell you go to track eight, but no, it's wrong.
Honest to God. This dude, he's got like a size 4X Mets jersey on that he can't even button. Who didn't know he was trying to get to the game? No wonder the train derailed. Those tracks have to hold this dude. Holy shit.
I mean, really?
Yeah, he sounds like that Eagles feature guy, man.
You what you got? You got brain damage?
They're incompetent. That first incompetent that he screams is great.
We stink.
Right, you're going to the Mets game. I mean, come on, dude.
Go to the Yankees game. You'll have a better time.
So that was funny. Oh, wait, what?
Do not worry, Mets fans. My nephew is coming to save your sorry-ass baseball team. And if he wants to, he will fix the New Jersey transit system in his spare time. Hell yeah, Tom. You see, my boy Timmy Tebow is back, isn't he?
I know. He hit a home run, his first at bat in the minor leagues. And now, let me ask you about this, though. He hit this home run against against a rookie pitcher.
That's right.
Who was drafted pretty late. In fact, God, he was the 666th player drafted this year in baseball.
I completely realize that, Tom, but I'm going to tell you it's a complete coincidence.
Oh.
I had nothing to do with that home run. It was a beauty, though, wasn't it? Big rainbow shot. I was in the other room making a sandwich, I swear.
Okay, well, I believe you, but, I mean, all right, then let's look at it from the other side. Forget the 666 part. How about the fact that he was drafted that late and he's a rookie pitcher, so did it really mean much?
Of course it meant everything, Tom. Small miracles happen all around you, except when my nephew Tim Tebow was around, and then they happen all the time. First pitch, first at bat, home run. Hold on to your heart. Look at him, Tom. He can do anything. This year it's baseball. Next year it's the NBA. He got Journey back together, Tom. Steve Perry. He's going to sing with Journey at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
As I have wanted.
But that's just it. He's not going to. He's going to be there, but he's not going to play. He's not going to sing.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Journey rules.
What?
Actually, you know, in my infallible way, I used to have plenty of things against people like Steve Perry and his homosexual ilk. But you know what, Tom? I started letting a few of them up here. The place is starting to look pretty good.
Yeah.
They really do have an excellent sense of decoration. A couple of ferns, throw rug here. Place looks great. And look, I'd never say this out loud, but John the Baptist is very happy to have some friends.
Hallelujah!
That's right. I'll tell you something. I would like to speak directly to my disciple Frank Fleming, enormous Mets fan,
right?
Complainer of New Jersey transit system, wanting to use track eight. Mr. Fleming, you will die of a heart attack in July, so don't even worry about it. You will not see the Mets inevitably go into fourth place.
New Jersey transit is the absolute worst! I'm not going to get to my game now because they are incompetent! They tell track E, and then I got on track H, and they say, no, this train's not wrong. Their announcement was wrong.
I tell you, I almost gave him a coronary right there, Tom. He was so excited, he was so up there, and all of that cholesterol was bunching up into a little ball. I thought, well, maybe not now. Let's let him get his 15 minutes of fame on TV. But July 4th, in front of your entire family, while eating ribs at the barbecue, you will have a massive heart attack, Mr. Fleming, and you will not see the Mets end up in fourth place.
God, that's terrible. Telling him.
I work in mysterious ways, Tom.
Well, I guess if he knows in advance, that's he can get stuff off his bucket list, right?
He can't even see his bucket, Tom. He put it down by his ankle about 2 years ago, and he hasn't been able to find it.
All right, God. Well, we'll see how Tim Tebow does the rest of the season, but congratulations on a great start for your nephew.
34 home runs up to the bigs next year. I have spoken!
This nice surprise visit from God, John. I wasn't sure when we would hear from him again, but I guess as soon as Tim Tebow does something, he's going to drop down on us. So,
well, I'm glad to hear from the old guy, man, because a lot of people have been thinking he hasn't been around. But as we can see now, America has returned to God, and Tim Tebow's hitting home runs. I think it's a sign.
All right. Yeah, and we actually did another off-season show.
My God.
My God.
If that doesn't prove there's a God, I don't know what does.
Right. So if everybody's been down on their knees praying for that, I guess it worked. So maybe he is working in mysterious ways. I guess we're spreading the gospel of the Bag Radio Hour.
Right. All right.
All right, well, I do have an email.
Oh, we got an email.
I got some emails, yeah, and I got some Facebook comments. I got, let's see, our friend Zoe wanted to know what Al Davis thought about his son moving the team to Las Vegas, and I hope she heard what he thought about that. However, I will say this. Nobody in Las Vegas has a haircut like that. What the hell? I every time I see him, that's all I can see. I can't think of anything else. What in the hell is that? Let's see. Daniel M.G. wants to talk about LeVar Ball.
What about him?
Well, I'd like to talk about him, Tom, but apparently because I'm white, I'm too slow. So I can't find my notes. I left them in the other room, and I'll never get back in time. Luke Heller wants to know why he never gets asked to be a guest on the podcast. And I think you've answered your own question there, Luke. All right. Thank you very much. That's why. Because we don't have guests on the podcast. We have God on the podcast.
Right.
All right. Eric Stoll, he wrote us and said, we just used 60 missiles to kill 6 people. Pretty sure we could have just dropped Aaron Hernandez from a plane and told him Assad was talking shit about him at the
My
club and got the same
God,
result.
Are you serious?
Oh my God, that's pretty fucking funny. Hey, did you see? I'm sorry, now I'm all choked up. That's a good one. I think we got to close on that. That's too funny.
I think so too, man. Yeah, I mean, obviously we know why they did it, but that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Aaron Hernandez. Assad's talking shit.
Oh, nice job, man. Good email. See, that's what we need. We need more of that.
Yeah, so we'll be back in May. We'll be coming back after the draft and discuss how all of our teams are now going to win the Super Bowl because of the draft we just had.
Sometime in May. May is going to be a very, very busy month, but we'll try to squeeze one in there somewhere.
I'm going to find that clip of Mel Kiper back in 2010 saying that he would quit his job if Jimmy Clausen was not a successful quarterback in the NFL.
That's a good
one. All right, I'm going to go find that.
You know what? I might have it.
There you go. Let's go get him.
I will take a look. I will take a look for that. And we still got to talk about, damn it, we got to talk about Big Bang Theory versus Seinfeld. Damn it, we still didn't do that.
I got a new entry. Brockmire.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it yet because the only thing that I know, John told me, he texted me, he says, Brockmire, new show called Brockmire on IFC, hilarious. And we went to watch it last night. But on demand, the only thing that was there were all these like a two-minute preview and a two-minute commentary. Oh. But it was on at like 3 o'clock in the morning last night, so I DVR'd it. So I do have it DVR'd, okay, and we are going to watch it today. There's
been
two episodes.
The first episode's the only one I've seen so far, so I don't know what comes after, but God damn it, it's funny.
There's been two episodes so far.
I think there's been like four.
No, there's been two 30-minute episodes. They're 30 minutes long.
Okay, all right, because the first one is so, I mean, dude, it had me, I had to keep hitting pause because, oh, I can't even say the lines. I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But that one jumped right into the running of best sitcom ever.
All right. Well, we'll see. And so we'll talk about that and Big Bang Theory and Seinfeld. Hopefully we'll talk about them next time. And
all right. You can follow us on Twitter at Bang Radio Hour. You can find us on Facebook. There's a Facebook group called Bang Radio Hour. And you can go to our website, bangradiohour.com, and hit that freaking donation button. Honestly, summer's coming. We could use a vacation. Yeah, yeah. $10, $5 doesn't make any difference.
Right.
$50, we'll love you.
Right.
$100, we'll put your name on a brick and put it in our wall of fame.
All right, we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Bang Cartoon Radio.